You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
This is the Mandatory Samson Podcast. We are coming to you from Stand Up New York Labs here in New York, New York. I'm joined, as always, across the table by my man with the knit hat, Andy. And to my right, the guy with just a shirt on, Joey Noe, Andrew Genelosi, Joseph Anthony Noe III. Here we are.
Yes. Are you really the third?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow. I always wish I had, like, a... you know, something behind my name like that.
Like a proper title? Like,
yeah.
You could just start saying.
That's true, I could.
You know? Yeah, he's actually the third, though,
like,
son of a bitch.
Andrew Genelosi Esquire or something.
Nice.
Like that.
Yeah.
It says so on my driver's license.
Attorney at law.
Wow.
What says so on your driver's license?
That I'm the third.
Oh, that's really cool. And hopefully the last.
Oh.
Not cool.
So we got a big show today. There's an obvious thing we're going to have to talk about. It's the Eric Garner situation. We're going to get into that in just a few minutes.
Yep.
Joey, I believe you were going to tease some information that you were going to give later, and you wanted to give a quick shout-out to someone?
Yes, I want to give a quick shout-out to Stina Rima. She sent me an article about Gamergate, which I will be touching upon a little bit later on the podcast.
That's great. Yeah, we're bringing back the... well, thank you, Stina Rima, for sending in something to Joey.
You.
That's really cool. We know you're a big supporter of the show. We love it. Yeah, we're bringing back the Gamergate thing.
Oh, yeah.
You excited about that?
Yes, I am.
I mean, I'm interested to know where it goes. I keep periodically, as I peruse the internet, I come across stuff and I'm like, no, I don't get it. I just don't understand. And actually, I was listening to Opie and Jimmy now, and they were talking about Gamergate, and they're like, we don't fucking get it. They had people calling in. They have no idea what's
Nobody
going
knows.
On. No, and we should probably try to get call-ins eventually. I'd love to do that.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be awesome.
All right, so the first thing I wanted to start off with, it's a quick one, but obviously it's a recurring theme on the show, is it's a climate change thing.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Which is a real thing, believe it or not.
Yeah, NOAA. Which is, it's interesting that their acronym is NOAA, because eventually the Earth is going to flood and they'll probably need an ark.
Yes.
You
get it.
So clever.
Thank you. They came out and they said that this is 2014 is shaping up to be the hottest year in the history of the planet. January to October was about a degree and a half or degree and a third higher than the 20th century average, which was 57.4 degrees. So it's just something to keep your eye on when people go, oh, no, it's normal. It's not normal. It's actually higher than it's ever been. They're tracking it. There's people that that's their job to pay attention to it, and it's higher than it was over the last, you know, whatever.
Or
millennia.
So Chris says. I don't really believe it, but...
What? Why don't you... How do you not believe it? What are you doing?
I haven't seen any facts.
Okay, well... I don't think that's true. I think you're just being a ball breaker, personally.
Okay.
All right. That's it. We don't really have to get too crazy into it. Last night, another bombshell grand jury decision in New York, in Staten Island, really, but reverberated throughout the city. There was protests all over the place. The West Side Highway was shut down. There was people out everywhere in New York last night. The Eric Garner case, for those of you who aren't familiar, and I actually brought the video of the incident because I figured it might be interesting to watch.
I don't want to play the video again.
Why?
Because, dude, it's so fucking depressing. Like,
it is depressing, but I think just to illustrate the point of why it's depressing, I think we have to play it. Basically, for those of you that don't know, Eric Garner was this 350-pound dude who owns a, I guess, convenience store, bodega, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And he had been... in trouble, I guess, a few times for selling like illegal cigarettes or selling Lucy's or whatever. And the cops showed up, and we have the video of the incident. So, why don't we just play that video of the incident, and then we'll get into what happened. But basically, this guy dies because of what the cops did to him, and they've decided not to go to trial on it. Yeah. And in a lot of ways, I think this is actually worse than the Michael Brown situation because
there's video of him being fucking choked to death when he did absolutely nothing wrong.
Like they're sitting there saying,
yeah. Please don't touch me. Please don't touch me. You guys always mess with me. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Let's play the video. If you hear somebody talking in the background, it's the kid filming it, who actually later, he's indicted now on charges. they investigated him, and he's now going to go on trial. So anyway, this is the incident, July 17th. The guy you'll hear yelling is not, and I don't want to say yelling. He's not yelling. He's just upset, obviously, but he's not doing anything aggressive. He's just upset. You'll hear Eric Garner in the background, and then if anybody, like, obviously closer to the camera is talking, that's the guy recording it, but we'll kind of narrate as it goes.
This guy right here is forcibly trying to lock somebody up for breaking up a fight.
Everybody's standing here, they told you I didn't do nothing. I did not sell nothing. Because every time you see me, you want to harass me, you want to stop me, you want to sell a cigarette. I'm minding my business, officer. I'm minding my business. Please just leave me alone. I told you the last time. Please just leave me alone. Don't touch me.
Now the cop from behind him has put him in a chokehold. I mean, really a chokehold. Is wrestled him to the ground and has his hand straight around his neck. You can hear this guy saying, I can't breathe, as they shove his head into the sidewalk. I mean...
Once again, police beating up on people.
Back up.
Right here.
Back up and get on that step.
Okay.
Back up.
Now the cop's telling the guy filming to back up. We don't have to watch... I mean, we just watched it just so we saw it. Andy, I mean, what do you think?
I think it's sad that a guy who wasn't doing anything wrong just got choked to death.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can watch a video of this guy being murdered on the sidewalk.
I mean, he just got murdered by five police officers while somebody was filming it. And the whole thing about, you know, the Michael Brown law where people want to put badge cams on police officers, that's obviously not going to do a goddamn thing.
Because you have found evidence.
Video evidence of this guy. How do you not indict that police officer?
Well, that's the insane thing about this situation. And again, like I mentioned, you're comparing apples and oranges, but I think in some ways this might be worse than the Michael Brown situation because Michael Brown clearly did something. I'm not saying the kid deserved to die. Again, we talked about it last week, but he clearly did something. Right. This guy, if he's guilty of selling cigarettes he shouldn't have been selling, the way that they go after him is completely unnecessary.
That was insane.
And they're also not allowed to do that. The chokehold is banned. You're not allowed to use that as a cop. They decide, this is, again, they're not deciding guilt or innocence. They're deciding, should we try to see if this guy was warranted, if he's guilty or not. Yeah, Joey, what do you got on this?
The one thing I found interesting was, maybe you heard about it, but apparently the coroner said that the chokehold was a direct reason why he stopped.
They ruled
stopped
it
breathing.
As a homicide.
Yeah, they ruled
the
it as
the coroner
a homicide.
Ruled it as a homicide.
Yeah. Yeah, the causes of death were, because this guy is he's a bigger dude.
Yeah.
He's like 350, 400 pounds. So he's probably he's not breathing great to begin with. He's a big guy. Mm-hmm. He has asthma. And the coroner ruled that the chokehold, the fact that he was laying prone on the ground with his hands behind his back, and that there was just people kind of like standing on top of him, suffocating him, is directly what led to his death. Nothing else.
That's a sham.
It goes beyond a shame. This is what, it's a prime example. A, black people are not treated the same way in the legal system, period. Fuck you if you disagree with that. That's not... It's not up for debate. It's just not.
No, it's
and B, cops are not treated the same way in the justice system.
No.
Because they're not indicted. This is two obvious cases where you need a trial and it doesn't happen. And the thread that holds it together is black people were the victim and cops were the perpetrators. That's fucking reality.
Yeah, that was... what more do you need? There's not enough evidence to see if he did something wrong. There's a clear as day video, because now the world we live in now, technology is at such a point where that's not some choppy video shot.
No, it's perfect. It's a perfect
webcam.
Video.
Like, that's perfect video, perfect evidence of that police officer doing something wrong. If nothing else, just the chokehold, which they haven't been allowed to use for a while, is like...
For years.
That's just... Yeah. That should be enough right there. But the fact that he choked that man to death on the sidewalk in broad daylight with five other police officers, even the other cops who weren't choking him, they did something wrong too. That cop is standing on top of him, pushing his head into the fucking concrete,
right,
while the other guy chokes him to death. Why did he have to keep choking him? He was down on the ground. They had his hands. He wasn't fighting him. All he was saying was, kneeling "You're
on
killing
his head.
Me."
They're kneeling
and that's
on his head.
Excessive.
I can't breathe.
There's a million things that happened there that's wrong. If you're another one of the cops that are there, you don't go, "Yo, stop. Like, he's down. We got him. Stop. He can't. You know." No, what that, and he wasn't doing anything. His hands are at his side. He's going, "Please, like, leave me alone." Like, yeah, leave him alone.
And that one cop just comes up behind him and throws the chokehold on him.
Yes.
And then they wrestle him to the ground, and it's like, okay, enough. At that point, he's down.
He's subdued.
You don't need to do anything else to like. And there's six cops there, five or six cops. Like, you have him in custody. You have him in control. You don't need to do that.
No, and again, there's a camera there.
Yeah, and now
there's a guy filming it. So if he does something that he shouldn't be doing or whatever, you have it on. You have him. You got it.
And so now, what's it going to take to get a police officer indicted? Not even found guilty,
right? But
just
go to trial,
enough to bring him to trial. Like, what? Like, I don't know. Like, how can this happen? How is that possible?
How has justice fallen so far out of favor in America where you can't get a trial for a fucking obvious murder? I mean, he was killed.
He was murdered.
Like,
he was.
There's
murdered.
No two ways about it. You could easily go online and watch a father of six get murdered in front of his business. That's the other thing that fucking irritates me. Oh, well, and I will say, people even on the right, Charles Krauthammer, like very right wing people, they think this is a joke too.
That's such a great name for a Republican.
Charles Krauthammer. Yeah, he's a ghoul.
But even he says it's too much.
You can't look at it because you can't rationalize it. Well, will say this, I debated bringing this up, but fuck it, you know, like it irritates me. I'm still a fan of the Opie and Anthony show, Opie and Jimmy, whatever. And Anthony Akumi is very funny. I think he's great when he was on the show. I haven't really listened to his new show, but he's a funny dude. But I will say that he is extremely irritating on Twitter. Like, I know it's a bit of like, I bet it's a little put on what he's doing.
Yeah.
But in light of all these things, he goes, "No, he was a criminal and the cop like had to do that." And like, you can't sit there and pretend like you don't have a bit. It's not coming from a bit of a racist place when you're sitting there and you're going to defend the cop for what he did in this video. It's fucking nonsense. And maybe you're doing it to, like, you know, poke the beehive. Maybe that's what you're doing. But shut up, man. Like, it doesn't help in circumstances like this. And especially when you're a funny dude, stop doing this nonsense that you're pulling online. It's like a dumb persona that you're portraying of being like, I'm not the racist, I'm the fact checker. Shut up. Because you can't watch this and not say the fact of the matter is this guy shouldn't be dead and the cop should be on trial.
Yeah, you can't.
It just
deny
irritates
that.
Me. He yells at people on Twitter that are like, you're being racist. I'm not racist. Look at the facts. I am looking at the facts. He's guilty.
Right. We're like, looking at the facts of this guy who wasn't doing anything. And okay, the whole like,
and he's not the only one.
Whether he was selling cigarettes or whatever they were going after him for,
right?
That has nothing to do with it. The fact is, he wasn't resisting arrest, and he was fucking choked to death.
Right.
He
well, was and that's murdered. That's the thing that we brought up with Michael Brown. It doesn't matter really what he did before he got shot to death. Yeah, that it wouldn't have happened if, you know, he hadn't done something earlier. Fine, but.
Yeah.
But right, but what does it take? You asked the question, right? What does it take to get a reasonable outcome in anything like this?
See, here's
what
my
are we
question.
Do?
why do we keep on going to a grand jury to decide if there should be an indictment? Shouldn't it automatically be the indictment, and then when it's on trial, all the evidence is presented? Yes,
well, that's an interesting point. Yeah, I was
because
watching...
it seems like everyone's covering their own asses.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's a diffusion of responsibility. I was watching All In with Chris Hayes last night, and he had, I forget who the guy was, but he was like, he was involved in the legal system. I forget what he was. He might have been a lawyer or whatever, but he was saying that the grand jury system is completely outdated. There's absolutely no reason for it.
Yeah.
And I agree. I forget. Yeah, I shouldn't even have brought that up because I forget exactly what he was saying. But at the time when I was listening to it, I was like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I forget what the initial rationale for a grand jury was.
Yeah.
But it's outdated because we can clearly we
see
have
two episodes of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's outdated. You don't need it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is like. Let's let this be a fucking catalyst in America for not only a conversation or a protest or whatever. Let's change the system. The system is broken. We're witnessing it. These are just two examples. Do you know how many examples there probably are out there in the world where somebody doesn't die or whatever, God. But there's wrongs committed, perpetrated, and justice is not done. This is a systemic issue. And yes, it's two black people that this has happened to, so that's the spotlight, and rightfully so. But it could happen to any of us. It's less likely that it's going to happen to us sitting at the table because of our skin color, right. But it's still possible. And I think it's this kind of... I really don't even know what would be... causing it. I mean, maybe it's the militarization of the cops. Maybe it's corporate control over things. I don't know what it is. But it's a pacified population that will allow this type of shit to continue to happen year after year. And instead of saying, yeah, they fucked up, we're going to make excuses and go, well, he shouldn't have been selling the cigarettes. Well, he shouldn't have sold the cigars.
Doesn't matter.
It's because black people are this or black people are that. No. It's your fellow citizens, we the people, are being fucked with by the very people that are tasked with protecting and serving us. And something has to change in this system because it is a problem.
Not to mention, here's a question. If they're there to protect, what were they trying to protect?
Well, that's another great point. Chloe Hilliard, who's on Ranting and Raving with Yamanika on this network, she tweeted out last night. She's like, I've never heard anybody in New York complain about Lucy's being sold or like, you know, illegal cigarette. Right. Who cares? There's three places right around the corner from where we're recording that sell Lucy's. Okay. Yeah. That's legitimate. And I guarantee that's the case in every neighborhood in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody needs to die over that. It's not a big deal. Why? Philip Morris is losing a little money. New York State's losing a little bit of tax revenue. Jesus. Suck a bag of dicks. It's ridiculous. It's unfucking necessary. And it really is. It's heartbreaking to watch this guy. He shouldn't be dead. He seems like a decent dude. What was he doing? And that's kind of why I brought up the Anthony Cumia thing. He's not the only one. There's a lot of fucking dumb racist people, and I'm not, whatever. I don't know why I'm like pussyfooting around. I think he's racist. It is what it is. There's a lot of dumb racist people on Twitter that you'll see where they, you know, they want to pretend that this was warranted, and it's just fucking not.
No, there's no way that was warranted. And again, I don't know now what it's gonna take to ever get a cop indicted for doing this kind of stuff. Like, what if that doesn't do it? Then what will?
Yeah.
Like what else do you need other than a clear as day video of somebody being murdered?
Right.
What else could possibly happen? Like, yeah, to get a cop indicted.
Because if there was video, you would like to think, if there was, people would say, if there was video of the Michael Brown thing, well, that's a slam dunk. Is it?
Okay.
Because this couldn't be more of a fucking slam dunk. Yeah. Right. Obvious wrongdoing.
If this was just a murder, like, not involving a police officer, just involving two citizens, this would be like you said, a slam dunk. This would be in an open and shut case of a homicide.
No doubt.
But so, because a police officer is involved, what could happen to where a cop could be indicted?
I really don't know. And I mean, and also the other thing we got to keep our eye on, because it got kind of lost in the shuffle with the right. It was basically right between Michael Brown and this. I don't remember the kid's name, but he was 12 years old. He's playing with an airsoft gun in the park, and the cops pull up. Two cops pull up. He's a black kid. They pull up, and they pull up, they stop, they jump out, and they shoot him to death, both of them. Dead, a 12-year-old with a gun that wasn't a gun. It was like a play gun.
Yeah, it was an airsoft gun.
Yeah. No. Let's keep our eye on that. Are they going to get indicted? Like, you're do that.
His name was Tamir Rice.
Tamir Rice, yeah. That kid's dead at 12. Yeah. And you can't tell me, because here's an example. My mom actually brought this up because I was talking over Thanksgiving. I was talking to her about this shit. This kid's 12 years old, black, dead. At the hands of two cops. Immediately. They didn't even ask him a question.
Nope.
They said they thought he was 20. He's 12.
There's no way.
He's 12 years old.
There's no way.
Okay? Unless it's LeBron James, that kid looked 12.
Yeah.
And if you see pictures of him, he looks 12.
Yeah.
My mom brought up this example. I'm not going to say the names, but one of my neighbors, similar situation, white kid. He was 15 maybe at the time. He was getting a gun exactly like that, an airsoft gun. Yeah. Him and his mom went to the borough hall where I live and asked what the ramifications were of this. Is this going to be a problem? Are they going to cops going to come? And they're like, no, don't worry about it. Like, it'll be fine. Okay. Fast forward a couple of weeks. He gets the gun. He's in the park with his friends. They're running around. Somebody calls the cops. The cops show up and they arrest them because they're like, oh, they have guns, whatever. They're fake guns. Yeah. But guess what? I bet Tamir Rice would rather have been arrested than shot dead.
Oh, absolutely.
If those are black kids running around in a predominantly white town where I live, where I come from, it might be a different story. And and you can't deny that. That's the issue. When you get a situation like that, people go, no, it's not because they're black. It is a little bit.
It is.
It is a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry. Like, that's just a reality. And I don't know why all these people that want to follow the facts and blah, 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 they're not following the facts in this case.
What bothers me, I think, the most is the fact that with both these cases, the people are supposed to have a trial of the POs.
Yeah.
It, to me, doesn't seem in either case that happened.
Well, no, there is no trial. Yeah, there's no trial. There's no trial. And yeah, the trial of the Pierce thing, that's another like little bit of a gray area thing, because if you're... like, define a trial of your peers. Is it people from the exact same socioeconomic background as you, the same race, the same whatever, religion, blah, blah, blah? Are those your peers, or is it just any person from out in the world?
Right.
You know, like,
I think maybe it's time to redefine that as well, then.
Of course. The whole system needs to be redefined. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It's because there's an old guard that is, because of the internet, because of the ability for people to communicate all around the globe and all around the country, we're able to communicate like-minded ideas with each other. They're afraid of losing control. They also know that because of economic downturns, because of rising income inequality, because of food shortages and droughts and blah, 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 people are getting increasingly on edge. And they are trying to put a chokehold around the system that they've controlled for so many years, and they're going to lose control of that. Let's not be afraid of each other. That's what they want. They want us to look at each other as the other. We're not. Mm-hmm. We're all in it together. You could have been born in black skin or white skin or whatever. You know, you could be born anywhere. Let's stop looking at the differences between each other. Understand that there's circumstances why people end up the way they do and blah, blah, blah. And let's look at the system that is really fucking all of us collectively. Because today it's this kid. Tomorrow it could be you. And the reality is, we have control over these things. This is a democracy, believe it or not. Even though it's you know, we're having our rights eroded, we have the final say. Go protest. Go do something. Be peaceful. Go protest. Let's make a difference. Get involved. Send a letter. Do something. Get a podcast and fucking rant about it every week. It feels good. Say something. Don't just sit there and let it happen and go, well, no. We have control over this. This is our country. We the people. Let's stick together and let's try to make a difference on things like this, because otherwise it's just going to continue.
Seriously, man.
Like, nicely said.
Thank you. I mean, it's just frustrating. It's frustrating. And I can't imagine. I just can't imagine, you know, what it's like to be a black person in America, or to be a minority in America. Like, you have to think about this when you step outside.
Yeah.
Shit, if I do X, Y, and Z, I might get killed.
If I breathe the wrong way, I could get killed by a police officer and then have nothing happen. And then he'll just walk free.
Right. There'll mm-hmm. be no justice.
There will be no justice. Like, what do these people's family feel like?
Well, I was just going to say, Jesus Eric Garner's Christ, widow now, she, the cop apparently, you know, oh, I'm sorry, Esau Garner is her name, and she was asked, like, how do you feel about the apology? And she goes, hell no, the time for remorse would have been when my husband was yelling to breathe. No, I don't accept his apology. No, I could care less about his condolences. He's still working. He's still getting a paycheck. Yeah. He's still feeding his kids, and my husband is 6 feet under, and I'm looking for a way to feed my kids now. Who's going to play Santa Claus for my grandkids this year? Who's going to play Santa Claus?
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God she gave that answer.
Yeah, and good for her.
Yeah, good for her. And, like, dude, because fuck that police officer. Fuck the entire fucking system of cops. Because, dude, I, like, even as a white person, I feel we can't trust police officers anymore. And they want to talk about how, like, we're supposed to have this community of trust and blah, blah, blah together. How? How right. could we feel yeah. that way?
Right.
How could you ever feel anything but fear towards police officers?
Of course.
That's all it is. It's like the goddamn KGB or something, dude. Like, I don't know. I'm afraid of police officers, and I'm a white kid who lives in a pretty nice area.
Right.
But, like, I don't know how to feel anything else
sure.
towards them.
Well,
like,
right.
With everything going on nowadays, it's like, what... How could you feel anything else?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you have to. Well, how do you? You have to be willfully trying to ignore what's going on. Right. You know, it's not black because I think it ends up being like, oh, it's their problem. It's the black people's problem.
It's not.
It's not. It's all of our problem. I don't know. Yeah. It's an extremely, extremely frustrating thing. It's crazy to me that there are people on the other side of this.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such tortured logic. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Joe, you have any final thoughts on this before we move on?
I don't get, again, that there was five officers and not a single one said, he can't breathe. Don't stop this. You're choking him out. Anything?
Well, it's like, and I'm not comparing. I am not comparing these people to Nazis. I'm not. But I'm saying in the trials, they go, how did you do this? When they would ask the mm-hmm. soldiers, well, I was just following orders. You know, we're in the same uniform. We're following orders, and this is what we did.
And that's
that's the real danger when you foster that type of thing because you lose your humanity. It's the other. Oh, I'm a cop. That's a criminal. It's this black mm-hmm. and white kind of it. What's the harm again? Like, fine him. Do some. You know, arrest him. That's fine. But you don't. I don't know. Whatever. We're just rehashing it, but it's like Well, what? I don't know. I don't know how. I don't understand how you could stand there. Well, it's the same way when you read an article about like a rape or something like that, and you go, oh well, people were standing there watching, and then blah blah blah. Why didn't they say anything? Because when you get involved in that type of groupthink mentality,
Kitty Genovese, man, the woman who was stabbed to death and raped in front of like 38
officers
in, Queens.
Yeah, during a parade or something?
No. This was in the 60s, and she was walking. She had just got out of her car. She was walking to her apartment building in front of a big high-rise apartment building. And this guy came running up and started stabbing her and was planning on he was basically out to rape and kill a woman that night.
Right.
He saw her. Start stabbing her. She's screaming, so all these people come to their window and watch it happen, you know?
Right.
One guy yells, like, hey, you leave that girl alone.
Hey, knock it off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he runs back to his car. She starts staggering towards her building. He waits, like, 10 minutes and then goes back and rapes her in the hallway of this building and then stabs her to death. And... only one person called the cops out of those like 38 people who saw it happen because they're all assuming that
somebody
else.
Yeah, it's the diffusion of responsibility.
Yeah.
Right. And that's literally the least you could do is call the cops.
Yeah. And she was, when she was in the hallway, she was yelling up the stairs to this guy. Like, cause she was in her building. So she yelled up to the guy who she knew. And he like opened the door, like looked down, saw it happening, and like made eye contact with the killer. And he was finally the one who called the police. But
how do you not run out there with some kind of weapon? You grab a hockey stick,
like, or that's like what I would something, do. Or just be like, I called the cops, like the police are on the way. Like at least yell that down, so maybe the guy will leave. But yeah. It's fucking awful. One more thing about the Eric Garner case.
Go ahead.
I just want to read this real quick.
Yeah,
Daniel Pantaleo, which is the cop who did
it.
This was just an article I saw. He may not stand trial in Garner's death, but he's not off the hook. Attorney General Eric Holder said Thursday that the U.S. Justice Department will conduct an exhaustive and fair, and that's in quotes, civil right probe into this incident. The New York Police Department is taking a fresh look at the case as well, escalating its internal investigation of Garner's death by interviewing more officers. Even if it's not illegal criminally, the city's police department patrol guide states its officers will not use chokeholds, which it defines as any action pressuring the throat or windpipe.
Right,
and whether it becomes necessary to take a violent or resisting subject into custody, responding officers should utilize appropriate tactics in a coordinated effort to overcome resistance, the patrol guide says.
Which would be considered what?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but it's you're clearly not allowed to do that.
You're clearly not allowed to use a chokehold.
The current police commissioner, Bill Bratton, fought against the ban on the chokehold, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
So take from that what you will.
Yeah, seriously. But the reason chokeholds aren't allowed is because other people have died from them.
Yes.
This isn't the first time.
Yeah, there was
a
case in 76, I think I was reading about, or 86, I forget, which is what sparked this. But that cop did actually go on trial.
Right. Probably wasn't found guilty, but
yeah, I don't really actually know what the outcome of that was. But
All right, let's.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I just want to talk about it now.
Well, I'm debating whether I want to even bring this thing up because I don't know if I'll be able to explain it well enough. I might. Fuck it. I was listening to this podcast Be Here Now with Ram Dass, who used to be Richard Alpert. He was involved in the LSD studies at Harvard with Timothy Leary and everything, and he went to India, became a guru essentially, and changed his name to Ram Dass. He and it's actually a phenomenal podcast if you really want to, like, it's very, very interesting. It's
like Yusuf Islam.
I mean, it's
Cat Stevens.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like that. I mean, he's arguably an enlightened being.
I was just saying the name change.
You just wanted to say, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, he was given the name by his guru, Neem Karoli Baba.
Neem Karoli Baba.
Yeah,
that's a cool name.
Very cool. But in any event, so I listen to this podcast, and it's like all these older lectures that he's given over the years. And I was listening to one yesterday, and it was about like helping each other out. And he was talking about like the ultimate dream kind of Western society is to create your own separate heaven, basically, because like the dream of making a lot of money is to be able to have your own property and be private away from people.
Sure.
And his contention is that is part of the issue with society, because we're supposed to be around people. We're supposed to want to help people. We're supposed to be in a loving environment, not an environment of like, that's the other. And I just thought it was interesting that happened to be what I was listening to yesterday, right before this decision came out, because I think it is, again, this it's the issue of looking at other people as though they're not you. And the dream is to be able to get away from other people. That's a huge problem. And I think that is a thing that is being sold to us through corporate culture and whatever in America, the increase in luxury. Oh, this luxury vehicle, this luxury townhouse, whatever. Get away from those other people. They're not, you know, they don't have enough.
They're
money
not luxury.
Here. Yeah, they're not luxury. Exactly. Yeah, those other people aren't luxury. Maybe that's the title of the episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it's interesting, and I would really encourage you guys to go check out the Be Here Now podcast. It's I don't know. I like it. I mean, if for someone that doesn't really have a religion per se, that type of stuff and what Ram Dass teaches and kind of what he talks about, that stuff kind of hits me in a place where I go, yeah, that sounds true, you know, quote, true, like the eternal truth, whatever it is.
Sure.
So I just wanted to bring that up. The next thing I had is another one. I don't know how deep we have to really get into this, but Texas was trying to execute a insane person. This guy, where's his name? I can't find it. Scott Panetti, who has been First of all, I'll say what he did. He killed his mother and father-in-law in front of his estranged wife and daughter in 1992, which is terrible.
Okay.
But he was, what's the word? He was not diagnosed schizophrenic in 1978.
Okay.
He was 20 years old at the time. He's 56 years old now.
He looks insane.
He's totally insane. I'm just scrolling down. They were trying to put him to death. They let it get down to like 12 hours before they were going to kill him, and he finally got a stay of execution.
The call from the governor.
It wasn't. It was the Circuit Court of Appeals. Rick Perry did not do anything. He was going to let this go because they, you know, they just love killing people.
Wow.
This is what's interesting about it. I just wanted to bring it up. At his 1995 trial, he was allowed to represent himself. Okay.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Well, he tried to call Jesus, John F. Kennedy, the Pope, and Anne Bancroft as witnesses.
Who is Anne Bancroft?
Those are solid witnesses.
Anne Bancroft, I think, is an actress, right?
I don't know.
Look it up, Joey. I don't know. Google it. He dressed in a purple cowboy suit in court and often rambled incoherently and on irrelevant topics such as Native Americans and the death of his dog.
Oh.
He said the killings were perpetrated by an alter ego known as Sarge and mounted an insanity defense despite calling veterinarians to the stand rather than mental health experts.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Okay. He also, at one point, his wife left him because he started burying the furniture in the yard to exorcise the house of demons.
Oh, for God's sakes.
So the lawyers for him were saying that this is obviously insane. It's cruel and unusual punishment if you kill this guy because he truly believes that you're putting him to death because he's preaching the gospel, not because he murdered anyone. He doesn't get that he murdered someone. Finally, at the last minute, they were like, okay, we won't execute him because clearly he there's too many questions to be raised. But what the fuck is going on in Texas or these states that have the death? We've talked about the death penalty a little bit.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing? What is the joy you would get or the satisfaction you would get from killing somebody who's obviously crazy? Why would you do that? Why would you continue it? Joey, go ahead.
Here's an idea.
If this is a joke, I'm going to stab you in the heart.
No, we take a time machine and we go back in time.
Okay.
When he's diagnosed with the schizophrenia, right there, he should have been committed to an insane asylum.
No, that's not fair.
Or placed someplace else.
Not fair. You can't just commit everybody because they have schizophrenia.
Yeah, they got to do something, right?
Live his life. But then again, you know, you're not sure. I guess you can't necessarily prove if he's dangerous if he hasn't committed any violent acts.
Right, that's true, yeah.
By that time.
Right.
But you can't just essentially lock somebody up because they have schizophrenia.
Right.
It wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, no, you can't do it. And especially because if people stay on their medications and everything, they're fine for many. They can be fine for years and years and years.
Schizophrenia is a very tough thing.
Right.
Definitely. It's definitely like a mental health issue that has had a lot of violence associated with it, I guess I'll say.
Yeah, because there's a lot of auditory. This guy was suffering from auditory hallucinations and things like that. So he doesn't understand he's living in a completely different reality.
Right. He's not living in this world.
Right.
Like he's living in one that he's created all in his head.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that to me seems like that's harmful to society.
Okay. That's potentially harmful to society. But then
do you go, well, people with depression might freak out?
Well, and
you know,
I guess,
like, how far does it go then?
Right, and I guess the thing about schizophrenia is, you know, maybe 1 in 100 schizophrenic patients commits a violent act, but then so you can't lock all of them up. You know, it can't just be because you have schizophrenia we're going to commit you to a hospital for the rest of your life.
Right. I mean, once he starts burying the fucking couch in the yard, then maybe you can have.
Then maybe it's time to take another look. But
right. That's fucking crazy. And then just on top of that, just to top it all off, the Ohio Republicans, that was in Texas, Ohio Republicans have been pushing a law to keep all details of execution secret.
Oh, that's good.
Because the United States is running out of one of the three drugs in the three-drug cocktail that we use to kill people. They're using two. It's supposed to be three.
Oh, okay.
Europe won't send it to us because they don't have the death penalty anymore.
Right.
We refuse.
That's right. We get it from Europe.
Yeah. The dumb states want to keep killing people because that's how it works. And, you know, Ohio. So they want to make sure that all the details of the executions are secret because they recently tortured someone to death. Basically, he was alive for 2 hours.
Yeah.
After, blah, blah, blah. And the Ohio, incidentally, has botched 4 executions in the last 8 years. So they're doing pretty good, but they would like you to not know when they fuck up. They just want to keep killing people with impunity.
Now, because
that's how we roll here in America, apparently. We're an embarrassment. Like, I feel like shit like that is embarrassing.
It is.
The shit that we do. Like, if you're in a different country and you're reading this, you're like, wow, what are they? They just kill crazy people, and they don't give a fuck what they're doing. There is no justice here. That's why I brought this up. It's like, is that just? Is that really part of the justice system? You're just going to fucking... You're going to murder people with the wrong ingredients, even if we think that that's okay? I don't understand it. Go ahead, Joey. What?
Wasn't there something that if you deem to be executed and they do the process and you don't die, that you are automatically free then or something after that?
Yeah, I think so. But they end up... See, but the thing is, they end up killing you eventually.
Oh,
like they fuck up. That was more like electric chair shit. If they're putting drugs into your body, like the drugs is not what killed this guy in recently that went off for, I think it was in Arizona.
Yeah.
The drug isn't what killed him. He eventually just had a fucking heart attack. Excuse me. And died like from other causes. So yeah, technically I guess he was free to go, but like who the fuck knows what they're doing. I'd rather they just have a firing squad. If you're going to do this, if you're going to torture people with these insane drugs and fuck it up because you're idiots, just shoot them right in the head. That at least will work.
It'll be quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, yeah, great. That was a lot of fun. We have the other guys have some topics. We are at the end of this episode going to have some fun. We're going to talk about UFC 181. It's something that we were going to talk about. It's a very exciting card. Robbie Lawler is going to face Johnny Hendricks for the second time. Hendricks' first title defense. So that should be a good one. And it's a really good card. We'll get into it.
Yeah,
but,
it should be great.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'll throw it over to Andy if you had some topics, bud.
Yeah. Again, all are kind of about death this week, but there were two big deaths in the world of rock and roll this past week, which is kind of sad. Number one, Ian McLagan, who is a pianist. He started off with The Faces, a great band, played with The Stones, played with Springsteen, Bob Dylan,
a
bunch of other people. Yeah, he just died December 3rd of complications from a stroke, which is sad.
Right.
But I just want to read this little blurb about him. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer's resume was varied and eclectic. His soulful and often joyous organ fills were heard on such albums as The Stones' Some Girls, Lucinda Williams' Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, John Mayer's Battle Studies. And a rousing live performer, he played with Bob Dylan and Springsteen and was actually scheduled to tour with Nick Lowe this winter. So that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing's sad.
Yeah, of course.
The fact that he had a tour coming up.
Yeah, that was like when Joan Rivers died. It's like, she's older, but she had a lot of shit going on.
Right.
Same thing.
And the second was Bobby Keys, who was a sax player for the Stones, died of cirrhosis of the liver on December 2nd. The guy was a drinker.
Had a lot of fun.
Yeah, a hard drinker for most of his life. And I actually have a great story about him having a lot of fun.
Oh, okay.
So, was a longtime drinker and, in fact, has two of the best rock and roll stories of all time. The first one, specifically about drinking. The second one probably had to do with it as well. But anyway, Keith Richards, in his biography, I guess he walked into Keys' hotel room one time because they couldn't find him all day. He missed sound check and everything. Walks into Keys' hotel room.
Where is he?
Yeah. And found him with some French chick in a bath full of champagne.
That's like awesome.
Dom Perignon just emptied out. And Keith says, nobody knows. The only person who knows how many bottles of champagne it takes to fill a bathtub is Bobby Keys. And so he was sitting there with some naked French chick in the bath, just full of champagne, smoking a cigar.
Is there more of a baller move than that?
Right.
Like filling a bathtub with champagne?
That is so rock and roll, it's not even funny, except for the second story. And what Keys says he's most known for, like more than any of his musical work, is the story of him and Keith Richards throwing a TV out the window of a hotel room, which is rock and roll, it's not even funny.
It's classic, it's almost cliche at this point.
Right, it was in the movie Rockstar.
Sure,
they
do
that.
Yeah.
But top songs he played on, at least for me, is Can't You Hear Me Knocking, Brown Sugar, and I Got the Blues.
There you go. All right. Well, that was nice. I mean, yeah, that was about death, but at least, you know, we're celebrating somebody's life instead of arguing about whether they did it to themselves.
Right.
Okay. Well, there you go.
And one other thing is the U.S. Army is seeking a new sidearm pistol.
Hey, now why are they doing that?
Well, after about 30 years of using the Beretta as the primary sidearm, they decided they're going to look for a new pistol, maybe something a little more. The Beretta is all.
Yeah, why don't you tell me what's going on with
the Beretta? The Beretta is all steel for the most part, and a lot of gun manufacturers are using more plastic.
Okay.
A lot of the pistols coming out are made with what's the name of the plastic? But it essentially is like more plastic than metal, making it a little more lightweight, more compact, just, you know, all around easier to use.
Right.
So for gun manufacturers, this is obviously a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, getting the contract with the U.S. Army.
Yeah, of course.
Huge.
Right.
Absolutely huge. So while the Beretta lasted 3 decades as the military's like standard sidearm, the M1911 and the Colt lasted nearly 90 years. It was issued during the U.S. War in the Philippines through the World Wars to Vietnam and beyond.
Great wars.
Wow. Great wars. Great wars. So Smith & Wesson, great gun manufacturer, and General Dynamics have announced they're going to throw their hat in the ring.
Right.
And
they're just going to do this like every 5 years now. It's going to go, it went from 90 to 30 to, it's going to be every, you know, every
and
turn.
Beretta actually said, even though they were the ones, you know, who just had the contract, they're actually throwing their hat in the ring, too, with a new pistol.
I see.
So, obviously, any contract with the U.S. Army is a big deal, not just because American soldiers will be carrying them for many years, but guns chosen by the military achieve this, like, cult status.
Right, you know? Right. They're, well, it's like going, it's like, that's a professional gun.
Right.
It's and the tool.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They're used as iconic weapons in James Bond and other action movies, and obviously become highly desirable amongst civilian gun owners.
Sure.
So it's a big deal.
All right. Yeah, that is a big deal. That's cool. You know, I gotta say, I do like that you... Because, like, I wouldn't pay attention to that, but that's cool. I'm glad you bring that to the table.
It's, so, yeah, it's just a pretty big news story.
All right.
Now, my only question is, if you choose to pistol whip somebody with that gun, is it going to have the same effect?
Yes, it will.
Awesome.
What are you doing? What is wrong with you?
Seriously, Joey.
All right. So, Joey, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
How many topics you got over there?
We got a few topics.
Okay. I'm saying we have about...
I got a couple more if Joey fucks up.
Okay, oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, that's what I was asking.
Vote of confidence.
Because I have a video that we can watch real quick. What do you think, Joey? It's like a 2.5 minute Bill O'Reilly talking about the war on Christmas we can watch, and then we can get into your topics.
Go ahead. Throw the
you want to do that?
War
Andy,
on
what
Christmas.
Do you think?
Joey, all right. Chris seems excited about this. So
here's why I'm excited Bill. About it. I'm annoyed because I tweeted the other night, but then I deleted it because I was like, that's not funny. It was like hack. But fuck, I'm pissed that I deleted it because I tweeted at Fox and Friends. And I was like, hey, when does the war on Christmas start this year? And then the next day, this fucking Bill O'Reilly comes out with it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is phenomenal. And it's good because it's a little more fun and we can kind of like yell at both sides of this. So
okay. This
is a clip of Bill O'Reilly. And then he interviews this dummy psychiatrist or psychologist. I forget. At the end, it's 2.5 minutes. This is just fun, and then we can bullshit about it. This is Bill O'Reilly talking about the war on Christmas. If my computer would start, it's so embarrassing.
It is. You should get a Mac.
Every Christmas season, there are people who try to diminish the celebration of Jesus' birthday. We all
like all those people at 30 Rock who were at the tree lighting last night.
Yeah, right.
The Christmas tree lighting.
Know it. But we do have a whole bunch of war on Christmas deniers. Say that I and others are making the whole thing up. Well, here's the first evidence this year. A billboard put up by an atheist group telling children to skip church on Christmas Day. Nice, right? Billboards are running.
It actually doesn't say that. It says, Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is to skip church. I'm too old for fairy tales.
Yeah.
Which is very on the nose and irritating. But yeah, nobody wants to go to church.
Number of states.
A lot of atheists feel alienated.
This is Daniel Moscato, the American Atheist Public Relations Director. And I'm going to say while we're watching the clip, the atheists are basically as annoying as the like super religious people.
And Daniel Moscato is a very unfortunate looking man.
Yeah,
I wouldn't believe in God either.
He's a plump little curmudgeon, this guy.
Time of year, and we want them to know that they're not alone. And that
atheists feel alienated this time of year? Shut up!
it's okay to admit and that there's no God and to be open about that.
Joining us now from Boston, psychotherapist Karen Ruskin, who is agnostic. I cannot understand for the life of me why anyone would bother trying to diminish the federal holiday of Christmas, doctor. Why do they do it?
I'm actually going to say, here's the thing that annoys me. I hate everybody involved in this clip. I agree kind of with Bill O'Reilly. Like, if you're an atheist, is Christmas really about Jesus anymore?
No, it's not.
It's about just Santa. It's about commercialism. It's Christmas.
That's all it is.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
You want to know something I never understood?
What,
how
Joey?
Christmas is a federal holiday, but Easter's not. Just from a perspective.
Well, okay. I don't know. Well, because Easter is that's like real religious stuff. Like that Jesus rises from the dead.
Rises from the dead versus the birth.
Right, but the birth is, it's not about the birth. It's about Santa Claus.
It's about commercialism.
Like,
what are you
going to sell on Easter? Some peeps?
Bunnies?
Yeah, some peeps. That's it. So what are you going to sell? All right, let's continue, then we'll get into it. This woman is righteously irritating.
Here's why. When you feel like you are in the minority,
you experience
the desire to try and push to sell your product, if you will, to sell your belief in a loud way to others in order to make yourself feel better, to validate your view, to make sure others hear you.
Why?
Bill does a lot of screaming.
Hear you. Why are you talking like that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's terrific.
But it's so counterproductive if you look at it just from an objective point of view.
I agree. It
is
counterproductive.
Putting up a sign like this just makes people angry with you.
Yes.
All right, because they feel they're being insulted, and they are. It's an insulting sign, is it not?
It's horrifically insulting. It's
it's not horrifically insulting. It's a billboard. You just ignore it.
Shouldn't the atheist not believe in Santa then?
I guess. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point, too. Yeah, Santa is real, kids that are listening. I'm sure we have a lot of young children listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I think we do.
But yeah, no, that's kind of a fair point, Joey.
Really disrespectful, but not unlike the bully who tries to push other people down in order to make themselves feel better. That's what's happening here.
Is this woman the worst of all time?
She's the worst. The only thing worse was that fuck hate video that you brought.
I actually have another,
We're not watching.
I did bring another one. It's not nearly as good. They like did a rhime in it. It's really irritating. It's not even worth watching.
This woman, though, she is awful.
Karen Ruskin is the worst.
I don't believe she has any real credentials. I don't believe anything she's saying.
Yeah.
A real whore, this woman.
Sure. I mean, I can't speak to that, but she very well may be.
No, I can vouch for it.
All right.
So your theory is that atheists don't feel very good about themselves because they don't believe in the deity?
Well, no. Not all atheists are as nasty as what's happening here. Some atheists have a true belief that there is no God, and they feel very comfortable with that. But there are others who have a very uncomfortable belief about it. They feel the need to push others down, and that's the group that you're seeing here. A group of people all coming together in a gang-like format in order to push other people down. But not all atheists are like that.
All right. Well, there you go.
All right.
That's fun, right? Here's the thing. I agree kind of with the, atheists can be annoying too. They can be just as, because the opposite of having a fervent belief is having a fervent disbelief in something. And they can be just as annoying as people that are really into religion.
Right.
You know, it's like, all right, we get it. You don't believe in God.
Okay. But yeah, there's no need. Like you said, it's just as annoying. People trying to tell you there's no God are just as annoying as people trying to tell you there is a God.
Of course, because neither one of you fucking know.
Right.
You don't
know. Just keep it to yourself. Like, stop. There's nothing more bothersome than people trying to push their beliefs down your throat.
Of course.
It's like, dude, just leave it alone.
I know.
Like, nobody cares about this except you.
Right.
Like, we're all just living our lives. not concerned about your opinion. Right. And you shouldn't be concerned about mine.
Yeah, and like, stop it on Christmas. Like, it's fine. Nobody thinks about it. I mean, yeah, some people do. But 90% of people are not looking at Christmas as like, oh, holy night.
No, it's just...
They're like, yes, I'm going to get that fucking Xbox One.
Dude,
yeah. Shit is going to be good.
I'm getting 4 pedals this year. I'm so psyched.
Hells yeah.
Hells yeah.
What are you getting, Joey?
That yet to be seen.
Oh, remains to be seen.
4 pedals and 2 mics.
Very nice. Cool. Yeah, that's great. Excited. I'm hoping for an Xbox One.
I'll bring the pedals in and I'll
yeah, actually, in. We might as well mention that. We today's the December 4th.
I can't believe it, man. It's December 4th.
Shit is flying by.
It is.
December 20th is young Andrew's birthday.
Yeah.
The episode, I think it's the 16th we figured out is a Thursday.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to bring in the your guitar, you're going to bring in some amps, some pedals and shit, and you're going to play the opening theme live, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, that's awesome.
That should be cool. Yeah, I asked for a... the deal is I'm turning 25 this year on December 20th, and I got my first guitar when I was 15. Actually, we're talking about religion. My confirmation cheddar.
Right.
My confirmation bananas, that's what I... that's what I spent it on. I bought my first guitar, which is a Fender Stratocaster, which I love and I still have and I'll never get rid of it. So, so for my 25th birthday, I asked for a very nice PRS guitar and hopefully I'm going to get it. I know
you,
I am. But
you believe you're going to.
Yeah. But,
fingers crossed.
So I'd like to bring it in and play the opening theme for you guys because I recorded it. I play it and recorded it, the theme you hear every episode, and I'd like to play it live for you
guys.
Yeah,
that's going to be really, really cool.
And maybe play 96 at the end of the episode.
Oh, maybe. We'll see what happens. I'll just let you fiddle around during the whole episode. Yeah. It'll be really good.
It'll be hard for me to take my hands off it, to be honest with you.
I know. Well, we'll have to figure it out. Yeah. All right. Hey, guess
that's
what time
Chris
it is?
Saying no.
No. You can do what you want, I guess.
Okay.
Hey, Joey.
Yes.
How you doing over there?
Doing great.
What do you have for us this week?
Okay. You ready for the update on Gamergate?
Yeah, as ready as I'm ever going to be, sure.
Still don't get it.
All right.
Nope.
So, Monday night, another video game developer who happens to be a woman, Brianna Wu.
Brianna Wu.
Anyway, she tweets about her dead dog. Okay.
Okay.
The dog's name was Crash.
All right.
Turns out that...
What kind of dog is it?
I don't know.
How old is he?
6.
Oh, what happened?
Was he a big dog? Because normally they
die dog.
Early. Oh.
A little yappy one.
Yeah. Did he kill it?
She did not.
Okay.
But she
is he going to trial? Is the killer going to be brought to justice?
The killer's not going to be brought to justice.
The dog catcher used an illegal chokehold on the papio.
Probably did, man.
Yeah.
They used those things that
those choke
you get out of pools with.
Right.
So
this is a real scandal.
When the Gamergators found out that she tweeted about the dead dog, they...
But wait, but what is her deal? Like, what does she do?
She's a video game developer.
Okay.
Okay. So who's already been harassed and threatened and all this stuff. So she knows that people are watching her Twitter. So,
allegedly.
But apparently, allegedly, she chose to tweet about this. So the Gamergate people find out her corporate email address and send her lovely pictures of mutilated dogs that have been killed.
Oh my God.
Why would they?
Was it Michael Vick?
Not Michael Vick. But one of them might have had
Michael
a
Vick
joke
was
br- with
Michael Vick was brought to justice.
He was.
He went to fucking jail and lost
7
all his money.
Years, yeah. Well, until he came back and signed another $250
million
contract.
Yeah, but that's, that's, we're going to have to get into that probably, the Ray Rice thing, but whatever. Yeah. Next week.
Yeah.
So on Tuesday, the next day, she tweeted
well, that's fucked. Like, people are such pieces of shit.
Yeah, that's unnecessary.
But let me ask you this. Do you have any backstory on, like, why was she being harassed? Did she step into the fray of the initial Gamergate thing and like, defend?
She's always been part of the initial thing.
So she's a bit of a feminist, whatever.
She would be on the same footholds as Annette Scorsese.
All right, but her dog died. So leave her alone.
So, on Tuesday, she claimed that someone from Gamergate had poisoned the dog.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Whoa!
There was an autopsy. The dog was not poisoned.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So that's that.
Somebody poisoned my dog. No, they didn't. All right. Never mind.
Okay.
Forget it.
About that.
So now the interesting thing is they were trying to figure out who the leader of the Gamergate is. As of now, there was no leader.
They're rudderless.
But part of the 4chan or 8chan thing is it's designed that anytime someone posts something from Gamergate, it comes up as the leader of Gamergate.
What is that? I don't understand. What does that mean? I don't understand what that means.
I don't understand any of that.
Okay. So
you're just like, ah.
So on 4chan or 8chan, when you post something,
yeah,
it comes up as the leader of Gamergate. So every time someone posts something, it shows that they're the leader of Gamergate.
Right, right. So everybody's posting as the leader of Gamergate.
Yes.
So there is no one. Okay.
Of now, yes.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of 4chan and the horrible nature of 4chan. Everything's anonymous. Mm-hmm. So if everybody says, oh, I'm this, then everybody's that.
Now, in the same vein, this is not part of Gamergate, which not yet, and I'm shocked that no one has hopped on it yet.
Uh-huh.
But there's this Australian woman who's a video game journalist.
Okay.
Huge YouTube following, all that good stuff. Her name's Alina Pierce. She's 20 years old. And I'm going to read you a quote. Sometimes young boys on Facebook send me rape threats. I've started to tell them mothers.
Yeah. I saw this.
So according to a few articles, she contacted...
She's only 20, that chick?
21.
She looked...
Why'd you just say 20, then?
21. Different articles written at different times.
Oh, okay. All right.
Really, they wrote they wrote different articles a year apart about an incident that happened last week. Okay, that makes sense.
Yep, it happens. So according to the article, there was... four mothers that she got into contact with.
Okay.
Only one of the mothers really responded.
Right, I saw that, where she was like, oh my God, I'll have to talk to him.
And apparently one of the sons told a lawyer and they might be trying to countersue her for defamation of character.
Oh my God.
So that tells you where we stand.
Because
in this country.
Because he threatened to rape her?
Right.
And he's
because she went out of the way to
to
tell his mother.
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I would go out of my way to threaten to tell somebody's mom if they were threatening to rape me.
Sure.
I get rape threats a lot, people. It's a real problem.
I don't think I've ever got one, and I'm pretty proud of that.
No.
Let's keep it that way.
That's too bad. Well, you're just not as sexy as Andrew over there.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
Although, I don't want to imply that being sexy is any cause for being raped.
No. No, it's not. And, I would not like that to happen to me.
All right, well, that's a weird one. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's like kind of funny that she would call their moms.
Can we get back to the Gamergate thing real quick? I just have like one or two questions.
Okay.
Okay. So this started by the woman sends out a tweet saying, my dog died.
Yes.
Okay. From there, what happens?
People from Gamergate get her email address.
Okay.
And send her pictures of dead dogs.
Okay. And then...
Then she tweets...
Let him ask that.
And then she says, I think somebody from Gamergate poisoned my dog.
Yes.
Okay. Which isn't... Like, that is possibly a logical conclusion.
Sure. Yes. And then an autopsy's done, dog wasn't poisoned.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess... What did the initial tweet of her saying my dog died have to do with Gamergate?
The fact that she's a game producer.
Okay.
And was involved, I think, in the initial like run-up of this whole thing.
Got it.
So people were just on her ass all about it.
Eventually, we were talking about having a whole breakdown of Gamergate, and maybe what I might do is do like key players, and she would be one of the key
players.
What
I'd like for you to do, can I tell you this? Yes. And I'm going to put this challenge out publicly to all the Samsonites, everybody that's listening. Get on, Joey, about this. I want you to get me one of these people. We'll call them. We'll do whatever. I want to talk to somebody.
You know where Zoe Quinn is right now?
Fuck Zoe Quinn. That's not who I'm talking
about.
She's in the United Kingdom, afraid for her life because she doesn't feel she can ever return home because of the death threats.
All right,
Was she from in the United States? Do you know what state she's from?
I don't, but I could do some research on
it. So are you rejecting this? You're not going to try to get somebody from Gamergate? Send out some emails. Send out some professional
emails. They have to be easy to get a hold of.
But yeah, they're not famous or anything. Right. Like that. First of all, I bet a lot of these chicks want to talk about their thing.
What's her name? Something Wu?
Brianna Wu.
Brianna Wu.
Get her on the phone. Get the dead dog
chick.
She
probably listens to this podcast.
I'm pretty sure like half of the country listens to this.
Yeah, and like seriously, like we probably have like more Twitter followers than like Brianna Wu does. Like so.
I bet. I bet. I'm almost at 350.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's special. Nope. I take that back. Well, okay, here's the thing about
I figured she had way more.
Brianna Wu. She has, oh no, that was favorites to followers. She has almost 30,000 followers.
30,000?
Yeah, 30,000.
She's only following 1,267.
That's too many.
Question. What is the magic number of how many people you're supposed to be following to how many followers you have?
Well,
because I feel I'm confused by that.
Well, no, the only thing I was going to say is she's favorited 30,000 tweets, and I just looked at it quick, so I thought it was saying she had 30,000 followers and she follows 29,000, because there's all these people who will have like 500,000 followers, but they're following 500,000.
Yeah. Well, that's
one people,
it's the so. Big follow back thing. I'm not big into that. It's like, if you want to follow me, that's fine. I don't go like, crazy
don't
out of my
understand.
Way.
And why people want or care about Twitter followers for Instagram followers or whatever, especially on Instagram. Why would you want people other than like your friends following you? You know, well, people who are going to understand like what your Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's people that probably get, you know, they get the more followers, the more attention you get.
Right, but like there's so many people who like, people even send me shit. They're like for like.
No,
like,
no.
Follow
no,
for
no,
follow, and no, it's no, like, what are you talking
no,
about?
I don't,
like,
I'm not
why
down
would
with
I,
that.
And then, like, you see people always commenting on, like, famous people's Instagram. They're like, hey, will you follow me? And it's like, why would that person ever want to follow some 15-year-old kid?
Right.
Like, and it's definitely the younger kids. I feel like it's a big
deal
for them. Yeah, like, yeah. And I'm sure it's a big deal for, like, how many Facebook friends they have and all that shit. But it's like, it's just so incredibly lame to me of like caring about how many people follow you.
Yeah, I mean,
it like bothers me.
I'd like to have more followers, and this is why. When I tweet something now, like through the podcast or whatever, I'll get responses.
Sure.
So it's like, that's fun. It's like, I like getting the feedback of it, but I'm not
going to
live or die by it.
But we host a podcast, a fairly successful podcast, I might add.
Yeah, on iTunes.
But like, these kids who are just like 15-year-old, 14-year-old kids who just like go to high school and like,
well, it's currency, you know,
just
it's like
whatever, like mm-hmm. like who cares, who could possibly care about what you're doing?
Oh, I got it.
All right, tell me, Joe.
Maybe it's a number for validation.
Well,
it definitely is.
Yeah, it's cool points,
but
yeah.
Like, but I guess I don't know, maybe like worry about something else, spend your time doing something else, like I don't know, dude, pick up an instrument or like learn a skill, like do that
sure.
instead of worrying about how many people follow your most likely very boring life.
Yeah,
on
fair.
Social media.
It's fair point. Send at least these guys sending the dead dog pics are proactive.
Right. At least they're doing something.
Yeah, they have something going on. Yeah. What else you got, Joey?
Brianna Wu, not bad looking, by the way.
Oh no shit. I'm gonna Google her right now. Yeah. Woo woo.
So I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with YouTube. And there was a video.
Wait, what? YouTube?
What
YouTube.
Is
what is that?
It's a website that you can watch videos on.
Okay.
And there's a count on every video. And there was just a video that broke the counter, which it wouldn't increase in views.
Brianna was, you know.
She's okay. I can only see her Twitter profile.
I'm not crazy. Here, look at the screen.
I'm not attracted to her. But no.
That's a bad picture.
Good Lord.
Can you please find a good picture?
She's okay. She's very tall. She's not terrific.
Well, she's next to an Asian man, so he could be 4'11".
Very confusing. She doesn't look Asian.
No.
Is she maybe her last name is like whatever Finkelstein, but she's married to an Asian dude.
Maybe
because she doesn't look Asian.
Like
to me.
The Chinese person episode of Seinfeld.
I don't. What are you?
You're
doing?
Not Chinese, you know. the Asian woman who's giving George's mom like advice or whatever, and she keeps like saying all these Asian things, but she's just like a white woman,
right?
And she has an Asian last name. I forget what her name is. That's gonna bother me now. But
so back to YouTube.
Oh, sorry, Joey.
So the view count stopped on Gangnam Style. If you remember, was that video from 2012?
Yes, Hopam Gangnam Style. Yes.
Oh my God, okay. I hate that guy so much. Okay.
I'm going to read out.
He was a communist sympathizer, it turned out.
No shit.
Yeah.
That son of a bitch. Well, he's apparently switched over to capitalism.
Now, here's the number.
Psy,
yes. Here's a number that Psy hit. I have no idea how to read it, so I'm just going to read out the number. You ready?
So what are you saying? Yeah. So on YouTube, obviously, there's a count. There's a view count.
Yes. It hit the maximum on a 32-bit system.
Okay.
So
but it was over like billions of views, right?
Yeah, it was over 2.5 billion. 2.1 billion.
Crazy, yeah.
It's over 2.1 billion.
All right.
So it's 2,147,483,647 times. Now they fixed it to a new number, which I'm going to now try to read.
All right.
You ready?
Is it just a trillion?
What? No, it's interesting.
No, nine? But wait. It so it went from 2.5 billion to what? It just got two. Like
they picked the next, a number, and I want to read you the.
But the next one would be 3 billion. I don't understand what you're talking about.
It's an encoding system,
okay,
in which it's programmed that it can only watch so many views.
Right.
So there's a number that it can hit.
Uh huh.
So it hit that number, so they made it another number.
Yeah, I know.
And then one day they're going to have to change it again, so it hits another number.
Right, but the next, I'm saying it's not like a Google, which is, you know, 12 zeros or whatever. Like, that's not the number it hit. I'm saying if it was at 2.5 billion, the next logical number, okay, the next number is 3 billion. Then by the time it gets to a trillion, like, those are numbers that we all understand. So, yeah, what are you talking about?
It's the way the system's set up. It's not set up to it's set up to a specific number. In which I would like to read to you now.
Okay, go ahead. I don't know what you're not answering my question. Go ahead.
It's on a 32-bit system.
Just read the number. Okay. Go ahead.
9 quintillion, 223 quadrillion, 374, 2 trillion, 36 billion, 854 million, 775,808.
So that's how many views it has?
No, that's how many views it can hit. That's the maximum.
So what was the fucking was the ceiling that this video
the old ceiling I just read to you, which was 2,147,483,647.
So 2 billion something, right? Yes. Oh, okay. So that was the limit. It fucked it up once it got up.
Yes, and
right.
Okay. They changed it to that.
Right.
Number
so if it got to 2.4, blah blah blah, plus one, yes. It couldn't do it. It got
exactly.
Okay. I see.
Just back to sorry, Joey.
No, of course.
No,
back
don't,
to real
don't
quick.
Don't
of
you
us,
ever apologize
of us talking about like 15-year-olds and finding something to do. Uh-huh. These Gamergate kids are they're creating Twitter accounts like for her dog that died.
Is he crashing on my Gamergate?
Yeah, and they made a Twitter handle that's like Crash Woo, and
oh no,
and so she posts a. Like she like screenshotted it and she says, and the whole time Gamergate is harassing the hell out of me. They're making fake accounts with my dog to hurt me. So this is some of the tweets from Crash Woo.
It's not it nice, says, but it is kind
actually
of
it's about ethics and gaming journalism. # Gamergate. And then I now support Gamergate. Listening to that bitch space cat gal who's Brianna Wu talk about it every day has convinced me to convert on my deathbed. Way to go, Gamergate kid.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. They like every once in a while they hit on something that's kind of funny. I mean it's mean, but it's funny.
That was hilarious.
What are you gonna do? Yeah, that's it is hilarious. All right, well I think we did it, guys.
Yeah, I think we did.
You feel good, Joey?
Yeah, I do.
All right,
I'm ready for a Chesterfield.
I feel great. Yeah, thank you Chesterfield Cigarettes for all you do for us.
Yeah, seriously,
we really appreciate it. The studio's looking beautiful. They've infused a lot of cash into this thing. It looks great. So thank you very much. I do want to say. What? More Crash Woo. Andy's showing us something personally. It's just a dog looking really scared with a gun pointed to its head.
And then with a caption that says Space Cat Gal's dog, and then the pistol is Gamergate.
So
ridiculous.
Now, I'm pretty sure there's there might be incidents coming up in the future, so maybe I'll try to come up
I
with a
want you,
big
you ignored me. I want you to get somebody in the game journalism.
She might not come on now.
She's not going to come on here. Forget it. Get somebody from, it doesn't have to be totally involved in Gamergate, but somebody who is involved in the industry that follows it, maybe a low-level journalist. Get someone. We'll interview them for 5 minutes. We'll ask them to explain it. Right. That might be good. That'll be cool if we got a call in or whatever. Sure. I think that'd be fun. All right, so okay. I'm tasking you with that.
I will work on it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Guys, do me a favor. Go watch The Weed News with Mike Cannon.
Yeah, please.
Andy edits it. Cannon's a hilarious comic who hosted. He's going to come on this show the near future. We're going to get him. He's great with stuff like this. It'd be awesome. I do the graphics. John Fatigate films it. He edits it sometimes, does the audio. Like, go watch it. It's a big stand-up New York Labs production. It's very funny. Go check that out. If you want to get in touch with any of the three lads sitting at this table, you can get go on Twitter. I'm at Mansamp, M-A-N-S-A-M-P. Andy
is at @A_Lozzi, @A_LOZZI.
And Joey?
Is Joey from Jersey with a Z.
Jersey with a Z. There you go. You can send emails to us. We haven't gotten an email in a little while. I'm a little sad.
No, we haven't. Please send emails.
MandatorySamson@gmail.com. You guys can go on SoundCloud.com/MandatorySamson to check out this episode and every other episode of this podcast. You can also go on iTunes. I'm being told that we are in the iTunes store, which I think we were. I don't know. I'm confused, but we're on iTunes. Go check it out. You can rate, subscribe, leave a comment. That'd be awesome. Yeah, I think that's about it. So thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. We will be back next week, and we hope you'll join us. Take care. Hey, guys, you know what? We're back real quick. Unbelievable. We said we were going to get into the UFC 181 thing. Do you want to get into that real quick?
Let's just talk about it real quick.
All right, let's talk about it quick. Joey sidetracks with the goddamn Gamergate thing. I know we signed off, but we are back. This is amazing.
Yeah, blame me for this.
Well, it is your fault. You screwed us up with the Gamergate thing. And we also, before we forget, one of Andy's favorite songs, 96 Quite Bitter Beings. We're going to end the episode with a live version of it that he really likes.
Yeah, we've been, I don't know why, we've been talking about, oh, okay, because CKY is one of my favorite bands, and the only song Chris knows by them
is that song.
Is that one song. It's really popular. You guys will probably know it once you listen to it, but they did a live DVD live at Mr. Smalls, which is a venue in Pittsburgh. And it's a great DVD. Check it out. You can actually watch the whole thing on YouTube. But we're just playing one song from it, and it's a really great version of it. So just listen to it and enjoy.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Now, we wanted to get back into it real quick. The UFC 181 title fight is Johnny Hendricks, Johnny Big Rig Hendricks, who's one of my favorite fighters.
Me too.
Taking on Robbie Lawler.
Ruthless Robbie Lawler,
who is also one of my favorite fighters.
I think he's a real douche.
Do you?
Yeah, I hate him.
Oh, okay.
Hendricks kicks his ass.
Hendricks is a very likable guy.
Yeah, I will say
that. Their first fight was one of the best title fights in recent memory. They set all kinds of records for strikes landed and everything.
Oh,
and
it was just a bloodbath.
Two real, like, serious power punchers going at it. I for some reason, feel like Robbie Lawler is going to pull it off and take the belt.
I think Hendricks is going to... what do I think? I think it might go the distance, to be honest.
It could potentially go, which is insane because they both have such knockout power. But
right, but I could see this going five rounds, or I could see Hendricks maybe putting him down in the third. TKO, not a full knockout, technical knockout. Like,
yeah,
knocking him down and then just like hitting him a couple more times and the ref stops it.
Sure. It's I fucking love MMA. I love the UFC. It's such an interesting sport because you really don't know what's going to happen, especially into things like this. These guys are very evenly matched.
Yeah.
You know? And the first one was a fucking barn burner.
Yeah. And MMA is a great sport. It's a great way to stay in shape. I practiced MMA 5 days a week for 3 years while I was in college, and I had never been in better shape. And just the everything about it was great, and I trained under Marcus Davis, the Irish.
No shit.
Yeah, I didn't tell you that.
No.
Yeah, he's from Maine, and he has a gym in Bangor, which is like his primary gym. And I went to the University of Maine in Orono. Bangor is just 10 minutes away. So every single day, 5 days a week, I went down and trained for at least 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours a night.
That's
and
cool as hell. What would you press? Striking, jiu-jitsu,
everything.
Yeah, we did, that's awesome.
Yeah, every single discipline, because it was broken up throughout the week. Like Monday would be striking. Tuesday jiu-jitsu, Thursday or Wednesday wrestling, all
right,
throughout
right,
the
right.
week. Some days
that's
just
awesome.
Strength and
Marcus Davis was a fucking
dude,
really fun fighter to
he
watch.
Was an
the Irish
and he was the nicest guy in the world too.
That's cool.
Had so many great stories. Had just a great guy and a great coach. Definitely, it was. I enjoyed MMA so much, and I'd actually like to get back into it at some point.
Because that's really cool. Yeah, I've always. I kind of want to try jiu-jitsu, honestly.
Yeah, you should definitely give it a shot. It's the best way to stay in shape, and it's very fun. And you learn how to defend yourself, which
right.
is great.
Right. Maybe that fucking cop that strangled Eric Garner knew how to like do an actual rear naked.
Well,
choke.
That was a pretty mean rear naked choke. I wanted to bring that up, like to sink in. And if you've ever practiced MMA, you know it's hard to get your submissions down and actually sink them in right. He sunk that in right. Like, that was no joke. But anyway, MMA is a great sport to to stay in shape with, and it's not gay like Pilates or something. So.
Also, I didn't even realize the undercard of this thing is fucking phenomenal. Anthony Pettis versus Gilbert Melendez is going to be a goddamn great fight. That's Pettis' first title defense.
I love Pettis.
Me too. I like both guys. I really do. Yeah. That should be great. I don't know what's going to happen there. I like not knowing what's going to happen in any of these fights.
I want to see another Showtime kick.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, for those of you who don't know what he's talking about, Anthony Pettis, it's like YouTube one of the most Showtime famous kick. Like knockouts in the history of the sport. He runs up on the side of the cage like Bo Jackson style face kicks Ben Henderson.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was, I was visiting my girlfriend at the time at UConn that night and just happened to be watching it. And she was asleep already. And I remember like standing up and being like, holy shit. And she like rolled over. She was like, what? And I was like, you have to watch this replay. Right. That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. The rest of that card, Travis Outlaw Brown versus Brendan Schaub.
Hate
that
Schaub.
Should be a great. You do you? I actually like him because he's been on a bunch of like Joe Rogan podcasts he's and he's douche. Friends with Brian Callen. They do a podcast together. Whatever. But that should be a good one. He was on The Ultimate Fighter. Todd Duffy versus Anthony Hamilton. That should be a good one. That's a nice heavyweight fight. And then Tony Ferguson, who I really like, is facing Abel Trujillo. And Uriah Faber's on the fucking prelims. I didn't realize. Unbelievable. That guy stays active, Faber. I'm a big Uriah Faber fan. He is as good as you can be without being champion.
Right.
You know? Ugh. I know. It's one of those guys. It's like your boy Chael.
Yeah.
Joey famously, in our world, had a bet on Chael Sonnen, and Joey's very prone to supporting big mouths. He loves smack talkers.
I like Chael Sonnen.
I like Chael Sonnen too. I actually have like gained respect for him over time.
Yeah.
But when he was facing Anderson Silva,
I was winning
the first fight between them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was winning Anderson for 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah. Chael Sonnen dominated the fight for 4 rounds, had Anderson on his back. Anderson had a hurt rib, that whole thing. Anyway, had him on his back the whole time and really was going to win by decision if it went that way. And going into the fifth round, do you remember what I said to you, Joey?
No.
I looked at you and I said, if he's going to stay on top of Anderson, if he's going to try to keep Anderson on his back, he has to be careful of a submission. That is going to be the problem. And with like 2 minutes left, Anderson threw the legs up and got him in a fucking triangle choke.
That was the end of that.
And tapped him, and Joey shit his pants because he was winning the whole fight and he had
the whole fight.
He lost $50. That was a shame. But that's one of the best fights of all time.
Yeah, I watched that at Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's where we were. Yeah. We go out to great. Wild Wings too. Yeah. It was fun. It was a really good fight.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Hook us up.
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be great? Dude, would be.
Come there. We'll do a live show from Buffalo Wild Wings.
We'll do anything they want.
You can pay us in wings and beer.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm awesome. Down. Get a nice cherry wheat like we usually do. Yeah. Get a tall boy of that shit. It's great. All right. So anyway, so that's the UFC. I think we should probably, I mean, there's a ton of great fights coming out.
Yeah.
We're probably going to get together and watch one together, but we'll definitely be doing some coverage.
We might
have
a little viewing party here, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to talk about that, but that's definitely a possibility.
Yep.
Anyway, so Johnny Hendricks versus Robbie Lawler for the welterweight belt. And by the way, old George St. Pierre is rumored to be coming back pretty soon.
Ooh,
so
we'll see.
Winner of that might get a nice treat in Rush St. Pierre coming back. So anyway. Yep.
That's December 6th.
Yeah, that's the Saturday, right?
Saturday, yep.
So, all right, anyway, so we came back with this little addendum, a little lighter than the earlier parts of the podcast. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you again for listening. Get in touch with us. Thank you for everything you do, and we will talk to you next week.
See you next week.
That's so fucking weak that I'm going to have to fucking put in a fake audience on the real one.